You're listening to The Exchange. I'm Mary Hartnett. Most kids of color grow up talking about race. They have the talk with their families, an honest talk about survival in a racist world. But most white kids just don't. They're barely spoken to at all about race. And that needs to change, according to Brian Kiley. He talks about that and white privilege in his new book, The Other Talk, Reckoning with My White Privilege. He says not talking about white privilege doesn't mean it doesn't exist. The Other Talk begins with a much-needed conversation for white kids. In an instantly relatable and deeply honest account of his own life, Keeley says as a white kid, he heard very little about racism, and that needs to change.
I think for many of us who are white, to have conversations about racism, because we often enter into those conversations feeling nervous or anxious, et cetera. And I wanna say that and clarify that, because as a white person, I'm talking about how even when I was growing up, when we spoke about racism in our household, we always spoke about what was happening to other people, not how our own racial identity impacted our lives and the lives of others around us. And so for me, when speaking with young white kids about what it means to be white and to grow up white, I think it's really important to share stories from my own life, to say, here are moments from my own life where I didn't know what I didn't know. And here are moments from my own life that now that I know more are actually part of a much larger story. And that's what I try to do in the other talk, right? I use examples from my own life and kind of throw myself on the examination table and say, look at all these mistakes I made, right? And not only to poke fun at myself for not knowing what I didn't know and wish I had known, but also to really provide those clear examples of how growing up where I grew up is affected by, you know, the legacy of segregation. Growing up where I grow up with my particular access to healthcare has impacted my life. These are things that are important. And teens, young people, want to have honest conversations. I've had the great fortune to travel the country and talk to kids in schools all across the country, whether that was in Alaska or Florida or Maine or wherever it might be. And everywhere I go, I keep hearing essentially something pretty much the same, which is, I want to learn more so I can do more.
My daughter and her friends there in middle school talk a lot about the idea of white privilege and about, you know, quote unquote, Karens, and she's such a Karen, her mom is a Karen. But do they really understand what it means?
Yeah, that's a great question, because all the buzzwords fly around, right? And we can get lost in the buzzwords. And in fact, someone like me who, you know, is interested and wants to be involved in these conversations can fall behind very quickly, especially with young folks, in ways to talk about it. But again, I think that's why I think it's important to try to be clear about what it is that we're talking about, because to be quite honest, the conversations that we're having about racial injustice today are very similar to the conversations that folks were having, you know, 60 years ago, conversations that we're having 60 years before that, et cetera, et cetera. Some of the stories I share in the book are traveling the country with Jason Reynolds, who's a co-author of All American Boys with me, one of our a previous novel we both co-wrote. He's a Black man, I'm a white man, and as we're traveling around the country and I'm sharing stories about our travels going side by side, and the experiences that we're having where I'm being treated one way and he's being treated another, is an exact echo of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s speech about two Americas living side by side that he gave in 1968. So to your point about the language, I think instead of trying to be up on all the hip lingo, what's most important for me as a parent and as a teacher who wants to talk about white privilege is to A, be clear about my own fallibility and my own misunderstandings, because that's, I know from my years of teaching that teens connect with you when you are, hey, look, here's a mistake I made. They're like, what, really? You know, they want to hear about those mistakes. And then to make sure that we're really clear about connecting that to the important moments of history and the important stories of today that exist beyond our life, how our life is connected to all these other systemically and institutionally and structurally racist moments.
Do you think it's harder if kids are in a atmosphere where it's mostly you know, other middle to upper middle class white kids, they maybe don't know a lot of kids different from themselves. And I know that's not as much of the case as it was when I was growing up, but still.
Yeah. So much of our country is still segregated. So even though it's the case that K through 12 schools today are for the first time ever in our country's history, no longer majority white, but in fact, K through 12 public schools in America are white students are majority minority. That's not true in every single community, to your point. So I feel it may be the case that a talk like this is just as important in communities that are predominantly white, because we might take for granted something that we think is the norm that in fact is not the norm. I think about how in my own book, I'm mentioning how I grew up in a pretty predominantly white community. And so for me, there wasn't a lot of talk about what it meant to grow up as a white person. But had I had those talks, I could have connected moments like, as I share at a basketball game in my high school, when my nearly all white basketball team was losing to a nearly all black and brown basketball team. And the chant from the fans for my team started chanting, "That's all right, that's okay, you're gonna work for us someday," which is deeply disturbing. But if I had had a context for talking about my own racial identity, I think I would have understood that it wasn't only something incredibly racist in the moment, but connected to a kind of set of assumptions that are still a part of our society today, with who is assumed to be the manager in the room. What assumptions do people make when I walk into a room versus when a young woman of color walks into the room? To dismantle those assumptions, we have to be clear about talking about them first. And I think our young people are really eager to have these conversations. And so it's incumbent upon adults like us to have them.
Do you think it makes it difficult when there are so many arguments going around about critical race theory and the 1619 Project, and there's a lot of division about how and where and why material like this should be taught and who should control it?
Yeah, that is the reality we live in today, for sure. There was a recent example in Pennsylvania where using the umbrella of CRT, a school district was trying to ban all kinds of books for young people, but not books that spoke about CRT, actually, but books that were just centering and featuring main characters of color, books that were talking about racism just as it naturally occurs in people's lives. And it was young people in the community who stood up to say, this is not okay. It was young people in the community who said, we believe in a fairer world. So while it may be difficult for us to have these fights, we owe it to our young folks who are asking us, we've got to do this. This is the world we live in now. And I think we have to honor that spirit, but not only our young folks, because I think about all the hard work that was done years before, the hard work of the civil rights movement, the hard work of folks who were trying to find their way back to justice in the terrors of Jim Crow after Reconstruction, the hard work of abolitionists. People have been working hard and hoping and believing in a fair and more just future. I think it's the least we can do to honor that hope by having some of our own, and no matter what the fight may be, to still get involved and try to do something to help out.
That was Brendan Kiley talking about his new book, The Other Talk, Reckoning with My White Privilege. The book offers young readers a way to understand their own white privilege, and it offers parents a way to talk about these issues with their kids.